as it usually is. Let me say that. The title is kind of a strange title, but the title of my message is Remember Lot's Wife. Remember Lot's Wife. So before I appreciate Jeff praying for me, I just want to pray again. I feel like God has put a message on my heart, and I just want to be able to communicate that and not get bogged down. So if you can join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the gift of salvation through your son, Jesus. I thank you that you are with us. You are for us. Lord, that you are in the midst of everything that's going on in our world. You are our refuge, our strong tower. You love us. You care for us. And Lord, we just come to you, and I just ask that you would just speak to me through your Holy Spirit, guide and direct my thoughts. And Lord, I just pray for everybody here, Lord, that you administer life in every situation that they're experiencing right now, and that you would just let them know that you love them, that you care for them, and just may your presence be with us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, the first verse I want to look at is in Luke 17, and in verses 28 through 33. It says, it was, and Jesus is talking about kind of the things that happened during Noah's time and also during Lot's time. And he says, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. So we see, we're talking about Lot's wife. We all know what happened. The angels of the Lord came. And Abraham, you know, they visited Abraham before. And he was telling them that I am going to destroy, because of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to destroy these cities. And Abraham kept negotiating with God. And he came down to the point where he says, if there are 10 people that are righteous in the city, would you destroy it? And he said, no. Okay, we all know that there were not 10 that were righteous. And so the angels came down, and they had to grab Lot, and they had to take his daughters and his wife out before they destroyed the city. But what happened was, they told Lot and his wife and his daughters, you know, go here, but don't look back. And we all understand kind of what happened is Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. You know, over the years, you know, we look at the children of God. You know, Pastor Jeff has been going through this epic series, and he sees, you know, from the Garden of Eden, what happened there, and that since that time, God is moving to restore us into relationship with him. And ultimately, it will come about, like Revelation talks about, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come down. And he's restoring everything that he planned on doing with Adam and Eve. And that will be, and we have Jesus as a second Adam, and that he will bring about the kingdom. And that it will be glorious. And it will be all that he planned. And really, he's wanting to develop, he's wanting us to have fellowship with him. And he wants us to be in union with him. Psalm 73, and this is kind of the a little bit different than Lot's wife who turned and kind of looked back. And this is the psalmist. And in Psalm 73, I would encourage you to read this today, the whole psalm. But they're talking about how it seems like people that are rich, nothing happens to them. They go through life. There are some people that are really don't seek God, that don't serve God. And it seems like their life is okay and nothing seems to happen. And we can identify with that in our culture. But then he comes to the point, he says, I was like foolish until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord and he showed me their end. And they don't have really a good end. And he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And he just sees how God, other than God, he has nothing. And there is nothing on this earth that he desires other than God and his relationship with God. We see in the children of Israel and how God took them out of Egypt, but they had problems. You know, it's like Egypt couldn't get out of them. You know, they were in the desert and they always look back, like when things were tough and God, you know, it was pretty scary for them, you know, I mean, but in their heart, they always look back when things were getting tough. It was like, what's God doing? Does he bring us out in the wilderness to kill us, to destroy us? You know, we had all of this stuff in Egypt. And they look back at the place that God delivered them from. Even though they were in bondage and they were in slavery, they kept looking back when things got tough. And we kind of are the same way. You know, we tend to look back sometimes to those things that are easy, that are not very, you know, I mean, they're when we get challenges and when we walk with God and we have tough things happening, we want to get the easy way out. We want the path of least resistance. And that's kind of how we are. And the heart is very important in our relationship with God. And we see the kings, you know, and we went through a period, Pastor Jeff went through a period with some of the kings, and we see where the kingdom of God, or the nation of Israel, after Solomon, was split, and it was divided between 10 nations that went to Jeroboam, and he had been a servant of Solomon. And God sent the prophet to him and said, I am going to, because of Solomon and what he did, I'm going to divide the kingdom. And you will have 10 tribes. And I will leave a tribe, you know, Judah, to Solomon because of my servant David. And so we see his son took over from Solomon, Rehoboam. And he was not the greatest guy. And when Israel came, you know, Jeroboam fled to Egypt until Solomon died. Once Solomon died, he came back because he knew that Solomon wanted to kill him. So he came back and they approached Solomon's son, Rehoboam, to see how he was going to lead Israel. And you know the story. He says, you know, my little finger is thicker than my dad's waist, and you know my dad did all this stuff, and Solomon, even though the kingdom was great, he really, a lot of the people there were very all the things that he did. There was a lot of slavery, and it was very difficult for the average person, and so. When he basically said, he looked at the advisors of his dad and they said, lighten up, you know, on these. And then he consulted his peers, the younger people, and they said, you got to be tougher. And so once they did, Jeroboam said, every man to himself, we're leaving, we're not going to serve you. So that's kind of the environment that Rehoboam had. And then Egypt came in and started and were taking over Jerusalem. And Rehoboam humbled himself. And God withheld completely destroying them because of his humility. But it was like up and down. It was sort of like the Israel during the Judges. They would do really well when they served God, and then they went on their own thing, and things didn't go so well with them. So in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14, we read this about Rehoboam. He did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. And our issues always come down to our heart. You know, and so we see that he really didn't seek God. He responded to God when things started getting tough. And he cried out to God when things started getting tough. But his heart wasn't really moving towards God. He didn't really want to be one with God. We also see, and I've spoken about this quite a bit, 2 Chronicles 15, and this is Asa, King Asa, and he was the grandson of Rehoboam. And we see that when he took over being king of Israel, that he had about 10 years of peace. And then this army came against him from Ethiopia. And there were like a million men that came to him. And he cried out to God. And God defeated this army. He trusted and relied on God during this time. And so in this scripture, it says, now the Spirit of God came, and this is after God defeated the army that came against Asa. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But you, be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. Now when Asa heard these words in the prophecy which Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet spoke, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He then restored the altar of the Lord, which was in front of the porch of the Lord. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who resided with them, for many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So we see here is that God sent a prophet to Asa and said, I'm with you. You know, he encouraged him to keep doing the things that he did, to seek God. And he says, if you seek me, you'll be found by me. And if you notice, there was such a division between the tribes of Israel, which were the 10 tribes, and Judah and Benjamin. And we see because God was with Asa, some of the tribes from Israel came over to Asa, and they came together with the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. And so there was a unifying because God was moving amongst them. You know, we see when God moves, people respond and they are attracted to the move of God. They're attracted to the Spirit of God when he's moving. In 2 Chronicles 16, and this is towards the end of Asa's life, is that everything was going good except he started depending on his own ability and his own strength instead of really depending on God. And there was an army that was coming against him. It was actually Israel that was coming against him. And instead of depending upon God, he started depending on his ability to figure it out. So he hired another army from Syria to come and fight on his behalf instead of trusting God. And this is what God sent another prophet. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." And God's plan was to destroy this army that he had hired. You know, and because he did that, they were still around. And you see, years later, they were still afflicting the children of Israel. And so a lot of times when we do things, we don't understand how we're impacting the things that God really wants to do. And we abort what he's doing to our, you know. Proverbs 4:23, and this, you know, this is one that we know a lot. It talks about our heart and how important our heart is. "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." And we see because King Rehoboam didn't watch over his heart, you know, he allowed things to come in that were evil. And we see also with Solomon, because, and God told Solomon, he spoke to him two different times in a vision and said, you know, do these things. And one of the things that he told him not to do was bring in foreign women who served other gods. And we see towards the end of Solomon's life, it said that God was not pleased with him because he brought in all of these foreign women. He set up temples for them, altars for them to worship their false gods. And so his heart didn't stay towards God like his father David's heart was. You know, and David was, you know, we all know the things that David did, you know, but his heart, God says, "This is a man after my own heart." He was one with God. And when things were brought before him, you know, we talk about there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but there's another C word. There is conviction in the Holy Spirit. And when David was convicted of sin, he responded, he repented, and he turned back to God. And we see that in Psalm 51. You know, and his cry to God was, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." You know, and that was his cry. You know, the sin that he had committed affected his relationship with God. And so his cry was from sincere he wanted his relationship with God to be restored. And that's where we need to be. Numbers 14, verses 20 through 24. And this goes back. And this is in the wilderness for the children of Israel. And they were always fighting against God. You know, he called them a stiff-necked people. And it was like, you know, there was rebellion against Moses and against Aaron. But it says, so the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. See, God was ready to destroy all these people. And he says, I'll start over, you know. And Moses sort of like just represents Christ. He interceded for the people. It says, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. And this is the spies that went out, and they came back. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. So we see the only two people out of all the spies, Caleb and Joshua, because they had a different spirit. They followed God. They didn't, they didn't turn away. And even though it seemed like it was impossible for them to go into the promised land and take the land because of the people that were there, they still had this different spirit that was with faith and believing that God said something, he would give them the ability to do it. Isaiah, this is another big one, Isaiah 30. And, you know, God is talking to the to Israel in this thing. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hanes. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you were not willing. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. And how many times does Israel keep going back to Egypt? You know, I mean, it's like it's just over and over again. In Jeremiah, you know, we see the exiles. Daniel, Babylon came in and entered into Jerusalem, took the captives, and brought them back to Babylon. And Jeremiah spoke a prophecy, and he said, "You will be there 70 years." And we know the story. He says, you know, build houses, you know, Mary and all this stuff, because you're going to be there a while. And yet there were false prophets that said, no, you know, we're going to be delivered from this. And you know, we have people, sometimes God puts us in situations that require us to walk with him, to learn obedience. And sometimes there are things that we have done in our lives that have brought these things about. And sometimes there are things that we have not done that have brought these things about. Because his whole purpose is to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus. And we see that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So we don't want to suffer. You know, I mean, I'm not raising my hand to want to suffer. But at the same time, we cannot become like Jesus without suffering and without getting out of the way. There was this guy, his name is Bob Turnbull, and he was an actor. And this was in the late 60s, 70s, and he got saved. And I remember him coming to our church. He became a Lutheran pastor, and his congregation was in Hawaii. He was a chaplain of Waikiki Beach, and he would hold services on the beach. And you know, he had been in different movies and stuff. He was in Hawaii 5-0, the original with Jack Lord, and he played a pastor there, and I think he was killed. but just a really, God just changed him, and he wrote a book, and the name of the book was "Would the Old Bob Turnbull Please Drop Dead?" You know, I remember reading it, you know, and it was just basically it's like Galatians 2:20. You know, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So we need to get out of the picture. It's not about us, you know. And as we do that, then we can experience God's life through his Son. And I think a lot of times we don't experience the power and the life of Jesus Christ because we still are in the way. And we mess it up. Jeremiah 29, this is familiar. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." So we see God's word to his people, even though their disobedience, their rebellion caused them to be removed to Babylon. God is still merciful. And he's saying, again, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And that's what we need to have, is a heart that seeks the Lord. Second Corinthians, Paul, you know, Corinthians was a very worldly place. You know, it had a lot of the gifts of the Spirit moved, but they were very carnal. You know, they had a lot of problems. But in the midst of that, I mean, you know, Paul, when he's talking about the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, we live in a society where we can become conformed by the values of our society. And we are, you know, we're influenced by a lot of things that are not godly. And we can really get to the point, if we do not spend time with God in his word, in prayer, and just draw close to him, we can be influenced in a very negative way. And Paul, you know, talks to the Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. See, we think that God is restraining us, and leaders in the church are restraining us by, you know, don't do this, don't do that. But really, you know, God has given us a new heart, and we're restrained by our passions, you know, by our affections. And we have things that need to get out of us, you know. He says, now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children. Open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And it doesn't mean that we're, Jesus said, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. And that is, you know, what Paul is saying here. We're not saying you don't associate with unbelievers, those that don't know you, but don't become one with them. Be separate. Don't be conformed to their way of life, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and represent Jesus in the midst of that. You know, I've got other verses here, but I guess what I really want to say, I've got something I want to read here. Psalm 32, and you know, the children of Israel were rebellious. I mean, it says that over and over again. They were rebellious. But what's neat is Psalm 32. It talks, I'll just read a couple of the verses here, but it says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Okay, that word transgression, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, that word means rebellion. Okay? God can forgive our rebellion. God can forgive us and change our hearts. You know, and this is a psalm from David. Let me read some other verses here. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. And then it talks about how God will instruct us and teach us where to go and give us direction for our lives. But we see here that David is basically saying, you know, I'm looking, and he said this in Psalm 51, you require truth in our innermost being. You know, God knows where we're at, and we tend to hide things from him, and we need to be open. We need to allow him to search us and see if there's anything. He doesn't condemn us. He's wanting to restore us, and he's wanting to bring change to our lives. And he's wanting, ultimately what he's wanting is to have fellowship with us. That's the whole point. He's wanting to be in union with us. And whatever it is that keeps us from being in that union has to go, you know? And we hang on to things and we suffer for it. And we just need to know that God's love, he doesn't condemn us on anything. He came and died knowing everything. You know, there is none that are righteous, not one, except for Jesus. And he came, and for the joy set before him, endured the cross. And that joy was all of us having a relationship with him. You know, he loves us. You know, he doesn't need us. He wants us. We are wanted by God. We are desired in a relationship with him. I want to read, I have a few other verses here, but I want to read this. This is from John Eldridge, who has a ministry. He's written a book like Warriors at Heart, and he's got a ministry over in Colorado Springs. I want to read these two verses again in a different translation. Psalm 73, 23 through 26. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Luke 17. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. Why did Lot's wife look back? She looked back, she turned back in her heart. Jesus said it had to do with her grasp for her life to be good again. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. Where is my life divided, Lord? What are you asking me to lay down? Our ability to overcome in this world comes from our union with Christ. Our union is complete as our entire being becomes one with his. Lot's wife thought she would lose her life and everything she thought she needed for life. and she turned back. These past few years have done serious harm to our hearts and souls. Our enemy set this snare. His plan all along was to afflict us, drain us, traumatize us, then offer relief through subtle temptations. Nothing major, just to get us to take our thirst for life to something in this world where our hearts feel relieved. We sigh and say, I'm good. Life is good now, without God. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus urges us to turn from every divided allegiance so that we can be wholehearted, wholly His, and receive the strength that overcomes. What is competing for our allegiance? Where is my life divided? Where am I looking for life and relief that doesn't really have anything to do with God? What are you asking me to lay down? And that's really the message what I have this morning, is that we have allegiances apart from Jesus in this world. You know, I think of, and I'm not, I don't want to be political, but it's like, even with what's going on, we have a new administration, you know, make America great, okay? And we tend to look back to where the United States was, you know, back in, you know, for me, I remember in the 50s, the 60s. 60s weren't so great. The 70s, 80s, I mean, we want to go back to how things were, and we want to relive that. Well, guess what? We can't go back, you know? And things are not going to, I'm not trying to be discouraging, but things apart from Christ are not going to get better. And in the midst of, you know, we have Israel that was taken out of Jerusalem and exiles that went to Babylon, and God was saying in the midst of that, we see Daniel, you know, you see Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what God did in their lives. They stood in the midst of a very ungodly culture, and they honored God, and God was with them. You know, God wants us in this culture that we're living in to honor Him, to represent Him. You know, in Isaiah 60, says in the end of the world, deal that darkness and deep darkness will cover the earth, but my glory will arise upon you. And we need the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I have nothing apart from Jesus and His life in me. And we really need to seek God. We really need to put some of the allegiance that we have that distract us, you know. And I don't know what that is for each one of you, but God knows that. And He's not trying to, as we give up our life, we don't cling to our life, then we receive everything. Because Jesus is everything. So that's my message. Let me pray, and then we'll take communion. Father, we come to You. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that You would speak to our hearts, that You would search our hearts, that You would show us there are things in our lives that we need to lay down what they are, and Lord, give us the grace to do that. And Lord, we confess that without You, we can do nothing. And our life is only because of what you've done. And Lord, that you have chosen us, Lord, and you have called us into a relationship with you. And Lord, may we value and love you, Lord, as you have loved us. Lord, do your work in our hearts. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, may your glory fill your temple. May your glory fill each one of our hearts. And as we come together, may your glory manifest. Lord, in this city, in this neighborhood, in this state, Lord, we need you. Have your way in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.